Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. This is the last message in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to remember that the Lord went up into a mountain with his disciples. And after he sat down, he began to teach them. And this is part of that teaching message from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous, wonderful thing, I think. So many commandments to tell us how to live. How to order our life. And it's just marvelous when you consider it. Let's read, if you will, read with me today, beginning with verse 15. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In our preceding message, we considered our judging of others. And we learned that we need to be very, very careful when we pass judgment on someone else, because the same thing will come back to us in our judgment. Doesn't mean we can't judge, because we can. But let's be very careful when we pass judgment. We considered the Lord's commandment not to give that which is holy to the dogs. and not to cast our pearls before swine. We considered a variety of scriptures that explain what a dog is in the scriptures, and I would encourage you to remember that. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs and the swine. And we were encouraged last time to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking, and to knock and keep at it. The Lord promised everyone that asks and keeps on asking shall receive, and those that seek shall find, and those that knock, to him it shall be open. And we considered again the golden rule, blessed way to live, as we would that men should do to us, that we do to them in the same way. Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. And we talked about the straight gate and the narrow way. Strict gate. One way. Very restricted, very narrow. We considered that there were but few who find this. Whereas in the wide gate and the broad way, there are many that go in thereat. Now, I want to consider our scriptures for today, beginning in verse 15 of chapter 7. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We're told in the Old Testament that if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, then you hearken to that prophet, for the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Some prophets and teachers are in the world to lead us astray. These said to Israel, let's go to other gods. And that's a lie, of course. Our Lord commands us to beware of false prophets. We can be sure that there's going to be false teachers among us. Like the Apostle Peter tells us by the Holy Spirit, we need to guard ourselves and beware that we listen to such men who have such wicked intentions, who are filled with lies and hypocrisy. No other way to say it. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm just going to read the first three verses. Let's read this. But there were false prophets also among the people, that is, Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Notice this, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I was looking at a report this past week the richest preachers in the world. And we're talking about men who have millions and millions of dollars. Big houses, great big things. And these men in the main, as I looked at their names, I recall that they were, in my estimation, hypocrites, false prophets, false teachers. We shouldn't be surprised that that happens because they're covetous and they make merchandise of the people that follow them. Jesus said they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. That is, they'll make an appearance as something they're not. The contrast between sheep and wolves. We should never be surprised that these kinds of people are about us and try to come in among us. Paul describes these people. He said, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, if Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Jesus said they come in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravening wolves. They're looking for prey. They're grabbing and clawing and biting and scratching. They pretend to be sheep, outwardly so innocent, so holy, so harmless, so meek, to be excelled by none. They feign themselves to be just and upright men. Because of their appearance, they seem to be sheep, but this gives them an opportunity to do the real sheep a horrible deed, to lead them astray from the truth. Listen to me. When you see men that are looking for money and they preach, you can mark it down almost every single time that man is a false teacher. He's covetous. I believe this man would preach to you if he didn't have a dollar of income. I have no doubt in my mind that I would. I don't want your dollars. I thank God that you have helped me all through these years. But I'm not after a dollar. God forbid. Paul calls them grievous wolves. He told the church at Ephesus, he said, I know this. He's talking to the elders of the church. He said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't care about the people. They care about themselves. They clutch and grab and steal for themselves, serving their own belly. They make a prey of God's people for gain. Since it's so easy a thing, they're so dangerous. Beware of false teachers. These guys can talk better than Craig can. They got better words than I could ever have. Most of the preachers that I've known in my 80 years on the earth have been country boys with most of the time a third grade education. But I've watched them filled with the Spirit and care for the saints, preach the word where they never collected a nickel. And they had not the furthest thing from their mind. Praise God for those people. Beware of false teachers. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Of course not. Doesn't work like that. How shall we distinguish them? How shall we determine whether or not a man is a false prophet? We'll know them by their faithful or unfaithful discharge of preaching the word. If they're true teachers, they'll faithfully preach and teach the word of God and not doctrines of men. They'll live a holy life. They'll be an example to the flock. It's with them like it is with trees. Good trees bring forth good fruit. Corrupt trees bring forth evil fruit. If they have the engrafted word in them, they'll bring forth good fruit. It demands diligence on our part to read the word and search the scriptures and see whether or not the speaker speaks the truth. Is he telling the truth? Is it in the word? Is it according to the subject that's being taught? Paul talked about the Berean church when they went to preach to them. He said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Listen to the Savior's words. Don't trust the preacher if you can't check him out. Don't believe things just because he talks well. Look at verses 17 and 18. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. If you know what kind of tree is, you can know what kind of fruit to expect. We would never look for grapes on a thorn tree. It's not in their nature to produce such thing. Sometimes an apple sticks on a thorn or grapes hang on the thorn, but that's a different thing. It's not natural. A good truth, a good word, or action can be found in a bad man, but you can be sure it never grew there. Good works are good fruit, pleasing to God and profitable to men. It is never expected from a bad man. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. In verse 19, Jesus said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's the same very saying used by John the Baptist. You know, I think the Pharisees and those people that came out to have baptism and he refused them, they thought he was a terrible man. But he said, now the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. These false teachers bring upon themselves swift destruction. Remember, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Sometimes we need to stop our ears and turn the dial. Peter talks about them in this way. Now think about this. He said these, talking about these false teachers, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with your own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. We just had a session with Brother Craig talking about Balaam back in the book of Numbers. Why did he go? Balak said, I can promote you. I can make you famous. I can make you wealthy. When a preacher's got two private jet airplanes and $40 million, I have to scratch my head, how can this be? They speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. They promise their hearers liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. They're the ones that eventually, like the dog, returns to their vomit and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. Jude said, these walk after the flesh. They despise government, speak evil of dignities. Oh my, beware, brethren. Now look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We cannot help but notice that the people mentioned in these verses are those who Christ never knew in a saving sense. They did many outward religious works, which they kept up for a long time. Not everyone that calls Christ his Lord and Master and professes subjection to him or is called by his name is known of the Lord. Watch this. The Lord knows them that are his. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They know the Good Shepherd and they follow him, and the voice of a stranger they won't hear. Jesus said, not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not talking about church membership in this present time. There are undoubtedly rank unbelievers in the churches, just as there was a devil among the 12 in the first church. But this speaks of that day when the visible kingdom appears and when Christ judges the living Gentile nations. Everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," won't enter, but he that doeth the will of my Father. To do the will of the Father is not merely outward obedience to the will of God. No, it comes from a true heart that's really and truly trusted Christ, that has repentance and faith. A person does the will of God who sees the Son, Jesus Christ, looks unto Him, commits himself to Him, trusts in Him, relies on Him, and believes on Him for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Thank God for men that love the Lord and declare the whole counsel of God. Not as pleasing men, but pleasing God. Notice verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" In that day, in the day of reckoning, in the day of judgment, not a few, but many. Listen, these are not Muslims. These are not Buddhists. These are not Hindus. These are not Confucianists. They are not Christian Scientists, but they're professing Christians. They prophesied, they said, and cast out devils, done many wonderful works in Jesus' name. Verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Most of these people you see like this are never, ever in a church like this church. They have their own organization. But Jesus had it right. When they come in their own name, those you'll receive, he said. They would never be a part of this. They would never say that the church is a local church. And that's a lie right up front. All of their outward confession of Jesus Christ in this life was for nothing. He never knew them. Their efforts were considered wickedness before the Lord and Savior. You need to consider that. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. That's what he's saying. Verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the wind descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's read Luke's account of this. Chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the storm did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want to ask you, how do you order your life? That's what this is talking about. What is it that directs your life? Are there things in your life that you do because of the philosophies of men? Or because it's esteemed great in the eyes of the unbelieving world? If we don't build our life on the sayings of Jesus Christ and upon his apostles who wrote the New Testament, we're building tragedy. Paul said, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now think about this just a minute. He told us what we are in the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. The poor in heart, the merciful, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said to them, as he would say to us as his disciples, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of this world. He taught us to agree with those who are adversaries quickly. He taught us about divorce and remarriage. He taught us to do our alms in secret to help the poor. He taught us not to lay up treasures for ourselves on heaven, but to lay up treasures in heaven by giving our wealth to the poor, especially the poor saints. He said, we can't serve two masters. No man can serve God and mammon, the idol of wealth. He taught us not to be anxious about the necessities of life. And he taught us about judging others. And here he's told us, beware of false prophets. A life founded on the sayings of Jesus, on the Bible, is a solid life. And it will stand the storms of life when they come, and surely they will. We're not going to get through this life without the storms coming and the wind blowing and it beating upon our life. If it's founded upon truth, if it's founded on Christ, your life is going to stand. You're going to be affected but unshaken. You're going to stand through the storm and through the trials. But if you build it on the philosophies of men, upon the things that are precious to the world, it's like building on the sand and it's going to smash and it's going to go to smithereens. Where are you building your life? This hasn't even got us to the idea of the church. This is talking about our personal life. We ought to be godly. We ought to be following Him who is our Savior. And we ought to cling to His Word as our own, as our life. What a shame when men seem to hear it, but they don't have ears to hear, and they ignore these things and build their lives on the vain philosophies and traditions of men and the oppositions of science, falsely so called. On the sand, on the ground, won't stand the storms. Where are you? We all have to work. And we ought to work and make our living, but while we're doing it, listen, remember that we work as unto the Lord. No matter what we're doing, it's unto the Lord. No matter what the boss says, we're working for Him to make Him prosper. We're doing it unto God. If you have your own business, it's the same deal as unto the Lord. You have a master which is in heaven. Build your life on the Bible. But you know enough to know that you don't go back and pluck out verses here and there and build upon that. It doesn't work like that. I hate it sometimes. My wife and I are watching a show, and this guy, they always portray him this way. This guy is skinny and ugly and got a black hat, and he's crying, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that kind of stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what the Lord teaches us in the Word. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior, truly and honestly? Do you know the one that came into the world to save that which was lost? All who are truly believing in Him have the forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. Their names are written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Never going to perish. Never come into condemnation. Do you know Jesus? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I think this is a marvelous section of Scripture. I've had men tell me this doesn't belong in the church. I think it's a lie. Jesus taught His disciples. Who were they? They were the first church. Build your life on what I've told you. Listen, if you've got things that have crept into your life that are things of the world that are causing you to get away from the Scriptures, renounce it. Throw it away. It's not worth it. And believe the Lord. I'm not telling you to believe me. Believe this book. Live according to it. God help you. Thank you.